Podtacular episode 296, E3 Halo 4 campaign discussion for June 12th, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Applink.
And this week we have Slightly Live back with us again. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
It's nice to be back.
One of our campaign experts. That way you like to rope in every now and then on a whim. You and Grim pretty much hold that. Position, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're real lore masters.
They are. So
I think it's gotten so bad for me. I've forgotten most of the stuff, but I think I know.
It's okay. It's hard to keep track of all of everything.
Yeah, man. I mean, once you go
there's
on
a lot
hiatus,
of stuff.
Lost. Yeah.
So that's why we rely on other people to do it. I mean, I'm reading through the books right now, so I'm trying to cram as much into my head as I can, but there's still a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I finished Primordium, and as soon as I get my hands in Glasslands, so I still have one more book to go.
And if you do like the Halo Encyclopedia,
yeah,
because that's
also a big help.
We're gonna need to make like a volume 2 of that or something down the road.
Yeah,
they'll probably do one for like this third trilogy or something.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I'm Raxi again. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
To be on again.
Raxus,
I was getting there.
Well, technically, he's no longer Raxus. He's now Arknul Cairo.
Or on the forums, VX Reaper or whatever we all call me. I prefer Raxi, to be honest.
Raxi?
Yeah, Raxi. Don't ask.
All right. Whatever floats your boat.
All right.
I got no issues with it.
Yep.
All right, so far for the last week or so, we've covered the multiplayer side of the Halo 4 stuff that we got from E3. So today we're going to talk about the campaign side. We're going to talk about the demo that we had during E3, that little opening sequence that we had for Halo 4, which was, I think, everyone's jaws dropped to the floor during that presentation. If it didn't, then why are you listening to this podcast?
For my political insight.
You would.
There is a following to that.
We don't do that on this show. We do have a section on it for the forums, but you
save that for the Game Byte podcast. To be honest,
well, we actually have listeners. We actually have a Politectacular in the works, so look out for that sometime.
To confirm nor deny that.
Yeah,
which means it's true.
You can only comment and speculate.
Oh goodness. Anywho, so looking through some of the campaign stuff, we definitely saw the new enemy. We got the first look through the campaign demo at the Promethean class of enemies. We had the Crawler, we had the Watcher, and we had the Knight. So what do you guys think of having this new class of enemy for Halo? No
more
refreshing.
Flood. It's very refreshing, and they look very sleek and exciting.
Yeah, what surprised me was the Watcher. No, which one's the Watcher? The Watcher is the one where he... Oh, okay. Well, the Knight...
The one that looks like a drone.
The Knight really surprised me because whenever it opened its mask, there was a human skull in it that was like glowing red and was what was it there?
Who says it's human?
Other than that... Huh?
Who says it's human?
It's not human.
Yeah. A humanoid-looking skull.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. Close enough.
Close enough, whatever. But yeah, I was pretty surprised as to how they introduced them, just like straight in. But then again, crap, I forgot what I was going to say.
I thought they had to just show the new enemies up front, close and personal. I thought there was no other way to do it. We were going to be spending the game fighting these guys, you know? We want to see how Halo's moved on, and what's a better way of doing it than showing your new.
I guess I totally called it wrong, because I thought they were just going to tease at it. I thought that they wouldn't have done a full disclosure like this.
No, they teased the big bad. They teased the mysterious ancient evil nemesis
well,
from
yeah,
Master
but I
Chief?
Thought they were just going to...
The big ball flying around?
Mendicant bias, whatever.
What?
I think Didact is what you're looking for.
Or no, wait. Didact is the... In the Forerunner series, the guy who tried to save the galaxy from Halo's firing. And the Mendicant bias was the corrupt AI that was corrupted by the Precursor. And as far as I know, if I can remember, crap. Well, I'll get back to you on that.
Hill 3 terminals?
Danny, do you have something to say to that?
Yeah. Did you read the Hill 3 terminals at all?
Yeah, I did, but it's just far gone. It's fascinating.
Yeah, a lot of it would seem like gibberish. Like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Well, we'll revisit that later, I assume.
I think the villain's going to be 2401 Penitent Tangent.
Ah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a backup.
Maybe he did. That's true.
I mean, they did that with the Halos. Why not do that with an AI? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm just making stuff up now.
Yeah.
I really do hope that there are more variation in the classes for the Forerunner and the Prometheans.
Yeah.
We bust out the spoilers here, because I want to be careful I don't accidentally just vomit out something that's big. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have to be careful with these spoilers now, or what? For Primordium and whatnot?
We can't really talk about the lore without
being heavily spoiler covered, you know?
We shouldn't have to. I mean, if people have wanted to read the books by now, they would have.
Yeah.
if you don't want spoiler stuff, you probably don't want to be listening to this show.
Don't listen to this episode now. Quit. Kidding. But,
yeah. Voice your mind on whatever comes up.
Yeah.
Because I know I've read this, like, looked into some stuff, and I've listened to the modcast where they've talked about it without reading the book, and it's like, okay, at least I have a better understanding for it, and I'm looking that much more forward to the book when I get there.
Yeah, Wikipedia, man.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Halopedia.
There's
Halopedia,
who knows
yeah.
how many sources that you can go out there and find this information.
Just stick to the books. That's all you need. Stick to the books and use your head.
That's what I do with movies. Yeah. I don't watch movies. I just read Wikipedia plot summaries and YouTube reenactments. That's what I did with The Dark Knight.
Anyone can edit Wikipedia, so I wouldn't trust it as your only source.
Now, these...
That's when you cross-check.
These cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go again.
You almost sound like him, too. That's the
drop off.
Cops and lawyers.
That's the creepy part.
Dent. He's just the beginning.
Dent.
How did this podcast suddenly become a Batman podcast?
Yeah, really.
we need to deal with this now. Otherwise, little Gamble over here won't be able to get a nickel for his grandma.
You almost sound like him. Wow. That's creepy. That is really creepy.
Like, and they make this pencil disappear. It's gone.
Oh my!
Right.
Let's get off.
Like he walks in at the beginning. He's like, ha ha ha, he he ha ha.
He pulls out a jacket full of grenades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get off this tangent before we go too far.
You're the one that brought up the tangent.
How much you want? Half. You're crazy. No, I'm not.
I blame this on death.
All right. Yeah, let's get back to the Promethean enemies here.
Yep.
So, someone said they wanted to see some more variations of classes.
Yeah, that was me.
So,
what do you mean by variations of classes?
Like, just three classes. Just for Prometheans, like, that's not really enough for me. I want to see more, you know?
There's
like,
more. There's definitely more.
Yeah. And I want to see Sentinels as well.
But they're not going to show you all the enemy types before the game even ships. Come on, they have to just tease it out.
Yeah, they have to keep something in their back pocket, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint.
I want to see an Onyx Sentinel, to be honest. because Onyx was also a shield world, and I don't see how those functioned. Because when
they already give us some idea about different variants of the units that we've seen. We've seen the what did you call it now? On the game spot,
crawler.
No. It's one of the variants of the knights. The lancer. Yeah, the lancer variant of the knight. The lancer teleports and does the wee shifty stuff. So they showed two variants of the knights already. So you get your standard knight and your lancer.
So those two are different.
So yeah. What I can see from this is they're basically the elites per se.
Yeah, pretty like, well. Yeah. They're the
elite equivalent.
Are taking up that role, but you also see if you watch one of the videos, I think it was the Spartan Ops video near the end of the trailer. They show you, I think it's a 1 or 2 second clip, and in that clip, you see a watcher, a crawler, and a knight. But they look different. They have different visual designs to them, slightly different visual designs. Like the crawler looks more like a dog with spikes on its head. The knight has these big blue plumes on its back, and the watcher. And the one thing that unifies the different variations is the color blue, because all the other versions we've seen of the knights are orange. So that suggests, like on previous Halo games where you had different colors of units, they were different ranks and they were harder enemies to fight. And now they have like these visual differences as well, so they look more tougher as well. They look not just the color change, which is even more obvious thanks to the way the Tron sort of visual they have to go in there for the enemies, but the armor looks different, so I thought that was pretty cool.
I heard someone say somewhere else that the colors were actually representative of the state of awareness that the Promethean enemies were in. So like red was like attacking, blue was passive, and green meant something else.
Yeah, that's just guesswork as much as my stuff is guesswork right now. So
okay,
yeah, that
difference kind of reminds me of the Sentinels from Halo 2. Because when you go into the Sentinel wall, they have the different Sentinels. They have the regular Sentinels and the elite Sentinels, where they fired blue beams and had stronger shields, and they also had gold armor. If you guys recall from that.
Well, I'm just going from like a very basic thing from Halo 1, 2, 3. You got your different units. No, you see a gold elite, a red elite, and they all have different functions. If you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So whenever you've seen a certain color, you know they run the hell away of it. Sword elite, you're getting the heck out of there, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that should be interesting to see. Also considering the Forerunner story of the Civil War, I'd be happy to see if they had the Civil War still going on.
Forerunner Civil War? Shield War.
Yeah. Even though, you know. But
you talking about the Master Builder stuff? What?
Yeah, Master Builder and all that fun stuff.
Well, that's pretty much wrapped up by the Primordium, more or less, isn't it?
Yeah, they still have the third part to go on, don't they? Because it's going to be a trilogy. So I think we still have a bit of time before we see the end of that.
Do you not think that the third book is going to reconcile what we know with the Forerunner Flood War and reconcile the setup for Halo 4? That's one of the reasons why I think they have it published after Halo 4 comes out, because it will spoil the big bad for Halo 4 and how the big bad got there and why the big bad is the big bad. So that's why the third book comes out afterwards. I would imagine that's the bridge. The final part of the trilogy bridges the sort of story for us a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun to see.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd also be interesting if there is still Flood or some...
If you go by Halo Wars, there's Flood out there in the universe. All the parts, there are Flood out there. So take that or leave that, it's up to you. But the Flood should technically still be out there by the definition of what they are and how they function and what we've seen.
Yeah.
But bringing the Flood back would just sort of negate this brand new threat, these brand new enemies, you know what I mean? So I imagine it might be further down in the... down the line in the new trilogy, we might see the Flood, say, in Halo 5 or 6 as a returning enemy. Maybe have 4-way battles instead of 3-way battles. That would be interesting. But right now, as Frank even confirmed on Gaff, that there's no Flood. You don't fight Flood in Halo 4. They could make a cameo appearance, but they're not an enemy.
Yeah.
I think they overhaul the Flood. Like, they can't just be the same Flood we've had before, but with, like, shinier graphics. You know, they really need to just overhaul their, like, design and, like, everything. Well,
look at what the Flood are. The Flood are basically just zombies. Three animated corpses or however they infect, you know? So,
yeah.
Whatever they infect, they become, and then you get your purer forms, and you have a bit more liberation with that. To be honest, it's really just up to the gameplay. People, it's up to 343, basically, to be imaginative and just create something like that. So they can do anything, but they're still pretty limited. Fictionally as well, if they infect something, and that something becomes, you know what I mean? So they're not going to be too dissimilar to what we've seen in the past. I wouldn't imagine if they ever do return, but I think talking about Flood returning and then what they're going to look like is a discussion for maybe 3 or 4 years' time.
Well, I always thought, speaking of, like, four-way battles, I always thought, like, if you really think about it, like, even, like, a five-way war has been possible. Right, so it's like UNSC versus Covenant versus Insurrectionists versus Sentinels versus Flood.
And like never had Insurrectionists in a Halo game. Original Halo
that was possible. Now they'd have to, it'd be like a six-way battle. You had the Prometheans.
Well, I mean,
I discounted the Insurrectionists in Halo Wars. Forgive me.
Oh yeah, with those bases with the fist on the flag. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because now Earth is the only surviving human world, right? So I guess the Insurrectionists are no.
No, in Glasslands they established that the other worlds that we left, that we sort of abandoned, because whenever the Covenant came and squished us a lot, and we sort of just left every other planet, we just left them alone. We just wanted to cover Earth. We pulled back all our forces trying to defend Reach, and after Reach fell, straight back to Earth, and we've left... Who knows how many worlds we've left? They fend for themselves, and as Glasslands show you, those worlds haven't forgotten that they've been left behind. And there's a ship in Glasslands, a UNSC ship in particular, it gets destroyed by one of the human colonies. They aren't happy. Humanity isn't a nice, happy, unified bunch, and there's still plenty of us out there. Never mind the illegal arms trade as well, Glasslands, that we've. Parts of humanity are established into and participating in. Like, we're trading, like, weapons of mass destruction with Yig-Yar pirates and whatnot. Like, so, no, we're out there. We're still out there, out in the stars. Just not very... It's not very nice.
Yep. Well, since I haven't read Glasslands yet, so...
I'm assuming the Civil War stuff is still kind of going on as well.
Well, the thing is, in Glasslands, the Civil War had been erupted by Glasslands. There was talk of a Civil War. We've seen the sides making the marks in the sand, as it were. They were establishing themselves. Well, this is what I believe. I'm going to stand this ground, and the Arbiter was standing his ground, and he wanted to do this. And because the Halo 4 has come out, because of some of the background information we've seen on the Waypoint, we know that there's multiple wars will break out subsequently from what we know in Glasslands. So it kind of spoils... What's going to happen is we know that the Sangheili are going to fight each other, but that's the setup to Halo 4. Basically, like, part of being on Game Informer, we've seen that the first level of the game opens up with a Covenant boarding party on the Fort of the Dawn. Chief wakes up, he goes up the bridge, up the viewing port, opens the doors, and he sees a massive Covenant fleet outside the Fort of the Dawn, just above Requiem. And as far as we know, in Glasslands, the elites and the whole Covenant war machine has been shut down. Without the engineers, without the prophets guiding all the things and making the wheels turn, that they've been forced into this sort of stagnant. They haven't got a clue how to get themselves up and running. And they're going from that in Glasslands to Halo 4, where they have a fleet. Not only do they have a fleet back up and running, but if you see in the game, there's new Covenant weapons, so they have new weapon technology. They have their war machine back up and running to some degree. And that's not really a good thing for us. But, they must have got the war machine back up and running in the Civil War that preceded the events in Glasslands. And they wanted to kill each other, and they need weapons and tools to kill each other.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Interesting. I wouldn't know that much stuff. I haven't gotten that far. Working on it.
I can't wait for the Thursday War. I know the Infinity's on the cover, like, so I don't know what direction they're going to take it.
So since you are kind of, like, in the know, is there any other stuff that kind of relates to what we saw for the campaign demo? Like, anything in the books that kind of stood out to you?
What do you mean?
So in terms of like anything we saw on Requiem or maybe the orb.
The cryptum?
Just like anything from the books.
The orb's a cryptum, according to the press site, who were very nice in labeling a piece of artwork with a very spoilery title. So that orb is, by the definition of the press site's official title of the artwork for that orb, is a cryptum.
So what's a cryptum?
Cryptum is basically when it's like a tomb, and they can reawaken.
It's a fancy cryopod, just say, like the chief said.
Yeah.
It's basically a forerunner version of that. Slightly more complicated, but same thing. You go to sleep, you wake up.
Yeah.
So this thing is floating around just to float around, or is someone controlling it, though?
That's the thing. In cryptum. Like,
does that mean that the person that's in this cryptum thing is actually awake and conscious and making this thing move? Or?
That's the thing. In cryptum, when the character Didax in his cryptum, he's unconscious. And it is like the chief in cryostasis. He's not pressing buttons and controlling stuff. He's completely out cold. He's knackered. His body's in a sort of contained state where it's being stored, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't line up to what we've seen in cryptum, but we don't know what kind of extent of facilities that could be made with, like, Forerunner technology is as infinite as the game designers wanted it to be, basically. So they can make it do anything. We don't know.
So but it could going be by some the other, book, like AI that's just.
Yeah, it could be. It could be some kind
because
of AI.
Because it wasn't the Didax reawakened manually by Bornstellar and the two humans.
Wait, we're talking about that the ball thing that was in front of the chief?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's someone living in there.
Yeah. That was
so right. It's Darth Vader. No, because it reminds me of that like that eggshell thing he was in the movies that like opened like he get his meditation chamber that he can like live in like with his helmet off, right? Really, like it opens and closes. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just like really? That. No,
the Vader egg.
Yeah, Vader. Yeah.
Yes, Lord Vader is in Halo.
Yeah. But one thing I find interesting is that on the real life action segment, you see the ship being scanned, as it were, in the same way the chief was scanned by the cryptum. The entire UNSC Infinity gets scanned, and you see a little symbol appear on a couple of the monitors.
Yeah, you see that Didax symbol or whatever
it is. It's not Didax symbol. It's Didax symbol upside down, and the middle bits filled in, and two bars from the middle extend outwards to touch the sides. And Frankie brought attention to the symbol whenever it came out. And we were posting about it, and he said something, but that's not the symbol that we're familiar with. He goes, no, that's not the unbound symbol. And we go, well, is the one that we've seen in the live action, is that the unbound version of that symbol? What does unbound mean in relation to this? But they are different. The symbols are different. And for now, just going by what Frankie said, we have the standard Didax symbol and the unbound one, which is the one we've seen in the trailer. So there are notable differences. They're not the exact same symbol.
All right. I guess the one thing I looked for was the little square things outside the hexagon. Other than that, I guess I didn't really pay attention to it. But thinking about it back, yeah, I guess they are different.
Yeah, if you look at them side by side, I think I posted a GIF a while back, but there are just visually, they're the same. It's the same symbol, just with slight modifications on the second variant, the new one.
All right. Interesting. So in terms of the weapons that we have for the Promethean weapons, those were pretty cool. Lighting things on fire, making things incinerate. So
it's hard I'm
assuming we're going to get some more of those kind of class of weapons. I don't think...
But there's three weapons we've seen in the trailers that weren't revealed to us. We've seen, like, the units holding three new weapons. And there'll be a sniper rifle, a big heavy-looking thing, which could be a rocket launcher, and something else.
Wait, where do we see a sniper rifle?
There's pictures from one of the videos. I think it was a Spartan Ops video. The knights were holding different weapons.
The light rifle. That's not a sniper rifle, is it?
No. This is a sniper rifle. It's longer. The profile is much longer than the profile for the light rifle or any other weapons that they showed us.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see that anywhere.
It was on Gaff. We something screenshotted one of the things from it.
Well, not everyone's on Gaff, are they? There's too many forums out there to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
Look, this is all you need. Podtacular for Halo and Podtacular for everything else. No, I'm serious. Because we discussed politics in open discussion. We discussed Halo, like I said, and other games, any other game imaginable, we discussed it in our other games and consoles section.
Here, for you guys, I posted the symbols side by side there on my website, so.
Alright.
I made a little nice fancy versions of both of them, so you can see the differences pretty clearly.
Oh, okay. They are quite different, aren't they? Quite different indeed.
Yeah. Like I was saying though a couple episodes ago, I think ultimately we'll get at least one Promethean weapon for every kind of class of weapon, like launcher, sniper, assault rifle, etc. Like, I mean, it just makes sense just for gameplay equivalencies and such.
Yeah.
Multiplayer and etc. It's like it's always been with Human and Covenant. We've always had the equivalencies with each other factions.
Right.
So it's same. It's just three way now.
So we have this mystical sniper rifle that I haven't seen yet. We have the light rifle, and then we have the scatter shot. Ooh. I'm assuming we'll have some kind of like pistol, Promethean weapon, some kind of launcher, like you said. I don't know if there's any other class of weapons that we could really
the blade arm.
Oh, a melee weapon.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean.
I mean, yeah, why not? But Halo's kind of
notorious for its like awesome melee weapons, like sword and gravity hammer and stuff.
But I mean, there's not a human offset of a melee weapon like that, is there?
It's called melee. It's just a pun. It's just a pun. Knife. Well, yeah.
As far as melee goes, no, it's more shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the human equivalent to the energy sword is the shotgun.
Yeah.
Close quarters. Okay, not melee.
Yeah, but it's not natively like a melee.
Okay, not melee. Weapon. Let me rephrase that. Close quarters weapon. All right.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. But we have the scatter shot already then, which is basically like the shotgun.
I don't know. It's just you think with like those Promethean knights and all that, that whole thing. That blade thing could be
basically just attached to them instead.
Would it really? Think we get some kind of sword?
You can't take
something
off the fuel rod off of a hunter.
But we have fuel rods, so what does that say?
But you still can't pull it off of the hunter.
Yeah, but we have separate fuel rods though.
It's more of a different weapon as far like not. The Halo 2, Halo 3, like type hunters, those are different guns, and I really wanted to use those. So,
Dusty, you don't want new weapons, do you?
I'm not saying I don't want new weapons. I'm just
worried
what I think will happen.
It just seems like everything is like why, and my answer to that is like why not?
Well, I just don't see them doing it. That's just.
But the Promethean guy, well, he had like a sword, a blade, right? Like why? Why can't we have something like that with Promethean technology? It seems like it just makes sense.
Well, in my head, it doesn't quite make as much sense.
It's not
because it's attached to the.
But like I said before, with the fuel, with the hunters and their fuel rod, you say that's attached, but then we have the separate fuel rod gun for
Separate. You can't take it off the hunter.
But it's the same kind of projectile, more or less. It's a similar projectile.
Right.
Okay. So the hunter gun, which is attached to their arm,
having a gun that does something like that, and having a melee weapon is different in my book.
I feel like your argument doesn't have logic. No, I'm serious because there's two fuel rods.
Would you see the blade just lying around somewhere? I think it would just be attached to the knife. I think it's just something that's built in. I don't think it'd be anything you could take off.
But it's attached to an eye anyway.
But you can make the same argument about hunters. Like, say if Halo 1 was about to come out and they were showing off hunters with the fuel rod guns and we were having this argument, like, and I'd say,
it's a projectile, it's not a melee, it's a projectile.
Yeah, there's a difference. I'd be saying, hey, like, what if that's going to be like a weapon we can have that shoots that green stuff? And you'd be like, no, but it's attached to them. How are you going to take that off? And then we get the separate fuel rod gun for infantry use. The same applies here. Yes, it's attached to them, but we could have a smaller version or something of a similar technology for infantry use of a blade, a Promethean blade.
But the cannon itself, it's different because it's more from bombardment. The hunter cannon is more for like suppression and bombardment combined because they have both the firing mode for the single shell and then the beam. So.
Well, that's specifics, but you get the general point.
Yeah.
Anyways. Other than that,
we'll see who wins this debate down the line of development.
I guess so, yes. So if you're on Team 4-Blade, you're on with Dapt. If you're not, you're with me. I have a feeling
let's make a threat. Let's assemble like opposing forces here.
The practicality of having to use like a blade in the first place is very, very slim because all the combat's gonna be like up, like at range. And the shotgun is, you know, if you're gonna run up close, and that's I know I barely do that. So,
yeah, but practicality. I mean, tell that to the elites who've been using swords for like how long now? You know.
Well, I mean, they have shield. Okay, humans like think of it as an entire like faction. They can't use blades because all they're gonna do is they're cannon fodder. The Marines are cannon fodder unless you have Spartans. Then that makes sense because you can just run up to someone and just stab them with
exactly,
a knife.
Which is why Spartans use energy swords and they can also use Promethean swords. You know,
the blade doesn't even have a handle either.
It's not Marines.
It's physically attached to.
Yeah, it's literally attached to their arm.
Oh, okay, just because the fuel rod gun on the fuel rod gun on the hunters is not exactly the same as the infantry version. I'm just saying there could be a blade specifically for infantry to be carried around and used in close quarters. That is not the exact same as the Promethean Knight's attached version, but is of a similar technology, you know?
But then again, dude, like, it just disintegrates whenever you kill one, so.
What does?
Like, everything on them.
Besides, yeah. If there's no, like, hand use, like, if the weapon is being held by a hand, then it's gonna disintegrate.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, give it a handle. You can make the same argument for the energy sword.
Well, the likeliness of that's kind of slim because it's most likely going to be surgically attached to the Promethean anyway. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said, and going back to one thing you said the elites have shields. Well, the Promethean Knight also seems pretty armored, so there's still practicality there. You know?
I mean, that's true. I mean,
and the Spartans also have shields, so there's practicality on all three fronts.
Actually, I do see practicality using knives as well because, I think it depends because if the shields are meant to deflect projectiles traveling at high speeds, like bullets or light bolts, then I guess like objects that are moving not as fast, like knives, could easily penetrate shields. Because, I mean, not to digress, but like in Gundam, they use physical blades to get past GN barriers, which are basically shields on Gundams. So.
Alright.
Yeah.
Oh well. We have two different views here.
But.
So we'll have to wait and see.
But moving on. What you guys think are going to be vehicles for the Prometheans? I mean,
that's what I brought up like last episode, right? Like some kind of, and Dusty thought it maybe be some kind of hovercraft.
Well, I mean, maybe, but the chance would be very slim because they can use the teleportation network on the shield world since they have.
Yeah, I don't think we'd necessarily.
Well,
see.
But the Forerunners, did Forerunners teleport everywhere, or didn't they walk just like humans?
At short distances, they did walk to places and do that fun stuff, but they also teleported if they had like I can't remember.
Okay, here's a thought. So the Forerunners, long you know ago, those Forerunners who all died out mostly. Even if they could teleport, don't you think at least for military purposes in wars? They would have land and air vehicles for defense because they're not actually going to fight on foot, completely on foot.
I mean, yeah, Pretty much, but
so couldn't they have those vehicles for made specifically for war land and air vehicles just sitting around still, like in, you know, in the garage basically?
Well, I mean, most of those vehicles are practically drones already. I mean, if you read the book, War Sphinxes. Well, crap, they're piloted. Never mind.
Exactly. But, there you go.
No, wait. Because like in Krypton, the 10 War Sphinxes that were protecting the Didact, they were unmanned and they're autonomous. So
they can make sure. They can make them autonomous.
I mean, I know because for like, our use. maybe they're just autonomous for that reason, just because he was in a crypt. But we don't know. So
I just think like with this new faction they have in the universe, the Prometheans, this new faction in the gameplay, it should be just as fleshed out as the UNSC and the Covenant, you know, have all sorts of weapons, all sorts of vehicles, etc. Its own type of grenades, maybe too. It should be like just as fleshed out as the other two.
Yeah. Then again, though, grenades for Forerunners, I don't really see that happening, though,
Why not? They're too good for grenades.
Yeah, I was going to bring them up because, like, I've never, in the book, they don't use grenades, so I'm like, okay. They pretty much
use, yeah, but they can retcon. There's so much they've retconned in the past. They can do
retcon. Yeah, maybe.
You can retcon anything. It's their universe.
Yeah. Or maybe they'll have a unit that's like a martyrdom unit where it's like a ticker from Gears of War. They just charge at you. And maybe they'll have that, but I don't really see that.
Gears of War Judgment 2013.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This shouts them out, yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of the little visual effect that we had with the HUD? Like, you could actually see the corners of the Master Chief's helmet.
I thought that was a nice
touch.
It is a nice touch, but I mean, multiplayer, though. Well, we're not talking about multiplayer. Never mind.
Yeah, this
I'd
is
like
campaign.
If they gave us the option to flip that on and off, personally.
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes they can, like, obstruct your sight.
They won't.
I don't know, it's like...
I'm telling you right now, they're not
It's cool. Like, we thought it's cool, because we're, like, super fans, but... Other people might get annoyed by it. They'll be like, why
are they
like,
it's barely on the screen.
What is this, like, fog?
Well, I mean, like,
what is this, like mist fog around the sides of my visor?
No, you can tell it's the helmet.
It's not like Crysis where it's like, hey, I'm going to turn up HUD motion, like, 100%. Like, everything, when you walk, it's not going to, like, move around, like, furiously, you know? It's not going to shake around like an earthquake's going on inside your suit.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Because it's only, like, what, 15 pixels at most? In a, like, square pixels.
Yeah, it's more than that.
So,
but yeah. It's not that much.
Well, I mean, like, yeah.
It's like the corners, which barely anyone looks down there anyways.
The HUD isn't going to be like that in multiplayer, correct?
No.
Then wouldn't they give us an option to...
Except on maybe like, Spartan Ops missions, but no.
Then wouldn't they give us an option to turn it off to make so it feels more similar to multiplayer? Like
no,
if
not
you
for
want?
Campaign, no.
Why not?
Well,
they're trying their best to immerse
you into the story, and I mean, you need every single thing.
Well,
their
whole thing is like erasing the line between Spartan Ops multiplayer and campaign, like erasing that line of like canon or whatever. So at that point, with that logic, wouldn't they have the HUD like that in multiplayer at that point?
Well, no, because in the multiplayer, you're in a virtual environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still have your helmet on.
Well, I mean, it could
Spartan
be a different
Ops,
helmet,
I think
you know?
You, Spartan Ops, I think you have your helmet back on.
Wait, so they don't have the helmet on when there's training and the...
No, I think... It
that seems counterproductive.
I think it's just war games where...
I think it's just because of the Spartan Force they don't have the obstruction because it's a different helmet. Master Chief still has the Mark VI armor, so I mean...
Oh,
it's
so
it's
like outdated, clunky technology.
Yeah, basically, because like you see the Spartan Force, their armor is a lot more lean and like it's body-defining. It's not like it's bulking up your body like the Mark V, Mark IV war.
I don't know. I get what you mean, but I feel like they still have a helmet on. Like having a helmet on, I think like even if
but
it
I mean,
was like
the
sleekest new technology.
Think of the EVA helmet, though. I mean, like everything you have a complete
where the,
view,
where the whole thing is the visor.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I mean, the SPA helmet was like that too, so like you can. You can't really...
But there's still something in front of your face. Like it's not like there's nothing there. Even if it looks great, even if it's the most newest technology, there's still something there. I think they would see something in front of them, in the front of their eyes.
I mean, yeah, but, like, the little, like, the mouthpiece is, like, below where you can usually see from your eyes. So,
yeah.
But I mean, look at the other, like, if you saw some of the pre-order stuff, there's some other pretty funky helmets as well.
Like the one with the three dots. They're outlandish. They're reasonable.
I don't know. Some of the pre-order ones looked really, really outlandish.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, some of those pre-order items were really weird.
You know what I'm still waiting for? I'm waiting for us to get that helmet that was supposed to be in the Defiant pack with, like, the one eye on the side or whatever.
Oh, that was
the dolls around the maps with
the twin sister of the Gungnir helmet, man.
That was cool.
I remember there being a rumor. I didn't know they actually had
an actual screenshot.
It's like assassin armor. Yeah, assassin armor from Halo 3. You remember that, guys?
What, the katana?
No, the assassin armor. Like, Hayabusa? It was some photoshopped armor. No. It was a photoshopped armor, and people thought it was actually real. It looked. Let me show up a picture. But as far as permutation goes, I'm wondering if forgot.
Wait, Dusty, you saw the screenshot of that Defiant helmet, right, when it was circling around?
I don't believe so, no.
Ooh, that's odd. Do you know what we're talking about, or no?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I heard the rumor about the helmet possibly like being one unlockable eye. Helmet. All
right, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and then on the anniversary maps, like on certain maps in certain spots, you can find these little, like, doll things that have, like, that Defiant helmet, like, on them. I guess, like, a shout-out to it or something.
You mean the GRD dolls?
Yeah, they had that weird helmet, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are really weird.
Yeah.
The one that's on every anniversary map?
Yeah, when you play Ridgeline, go over to that cliff behind the rock, and it's in the box. It's like, in the crate. You can, like, punch it open. Yeah.
Yeah, on the cliff edge.
Yeah, the helmet.
The waterfall.
The helmet that's on those dolls is the helmet that we were supposed to, supposedly get in the Defiant pack, but it never, and there was even a screenshot of it on an actual Spartan and everything, but I guess it never, like, materialized or something.
Yeah.
Well, I think at that point, with how Reach was coded, they really couldn't just add another helmet in there, because what they said was they would have to rewrite every single map because of how the...
That's obnoxious.
Well, that's just how they decide to do it. It depends on how you decide to link all your assets for the map, and that's just how they decide to do it.
Yeah, it's not obnoxious. It's a technical limitation of how the game's designed.
Well, yeah. I mean, they could have put it in the shared map file. They didn't have to put it necessarily in every single map.
That's a good point.
They could have linked it differently.
They could have put it in the new maps, but not even then that would cause problems. They couldn't... You can put unique things in maps, but you... set of armor.
But I mean, you're sharing through, especially with Reach. Every time you were playing, you were sharing those assets.
So those assets have to be baked into each map individually. So if they're not on the map, they don't show up on the map. So you can't just put new armor into the game without being on the older stuff. Like, I think Firewolf on Gaff. He got some stick for a lot of things he said about the Halo maps. But he had one good point, and that was you can't rewrite the old dot maps to include new stuff like armors and stuff without basically redownloading the entire game again, essentially.
Right.
So if you wanted new armor into the game, you would have to download same multiplayer files for all the existing maps.
So what if you just update, like, the shared map?
So what about if we take that armor into campaign? What time is we going to take it into firefight?
Right, that's why you just say everything. Because, I mean, Reach is a special case, too, because every time that you played, no matter firefight, multiplayer, or campaign, you were using your same armor loadout. It's not like it was different from the campaign to multiplayer like it's been for the past games.
But say you want a new armor on Reach. The armor has to be in the campaign, has to be on firefight, has to be on multiplayer.
So if it's linked on the shared map and everything references
the map? Not everything references the shared map. I've said that if you only put something into the map, it has to be in the map file, the dot map file or whatever it is. And if it's not on that file for that map, then you ain't getting it.
Is that, but I'm wondering if that's just a choice of how they decide to do the maps, because
that's how they've decided. According to the people who know, I'm not one who's looked into the filing system. According to the people that do know better and have looked into the filing system of the games, they've done that since Halo 1. It's a very awkward way of doing things, and it doesn't let you add in content post-release very easily. But that's just the way it is.
Right. Advice 343.
Change that for Halo 4, but yeah.
I would think there'd be some better way to do that, though.
Well, I'm sure there is, but like I said, that's just the way Halo's been built. I don't think Halo was originally designed to have armor updating from.
Yeah, there wasn't DLC back then. Exactly.
Well, if you look at like just from a OS perspective on Microsoft, and this is a Microsoft product we're talking about here, you use DLLs everywhere, which is you're linking libraries together. It's not like you shouldn't be able to like link a resource.
I'm just saying that's just the way, from what I know, the maps are put together. And you know what I mean? I'm just going by what I've been told and what I've seen from the people that decompile these things and know better. If you don't have a good word about this thing, I'm sure someone at Bungie or 343 could tell you the technical specifics about those sort of things and why it's wasn't feasible and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've been told in a reliable word that putting a new armor into Reach post-release just wasn't feasible.
Well, like, no, yeah,
it,
I understand.
If it was, they would have done it, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I understand, like, because of how they did it now, but I'm just saying, for the future, if they could link it to a shared library instead of just having to push it to every single map.
Well, I'm sure they thought all these things in mind, you know what I mean? I'm sure, like, this is one of the things they must have thought of.
Because you could cram a lot more assets into a game if you used a lot of shared stuff.
Yeah.
It all depends on how the game's designed and what it's intended to be post-release, you know what I mean? It's easy for you to say one thing, but whenever you're designing the game, like, what's the intentions for that game, you know what I mean? So it's...
Yeah, doesn't this go all the way back to, like, Halo 3? I think I remember people, like, back in Halo 3's day wanting, you know, them to add armor, like, in DLC.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, this just isn't possible for reasons like X, Y, and Z.
Yes, the exact same reasons why you couldn't add it in 3 is why you can't add it in Reach. I'm saying Halo 4 could be entirely different.
No, yeah.
I know they're doing stuff with the engine, like, so it could be entirely different, but for Reach and 3, it's, yeah.
I'm not trying to complain that they could have done it with how they already did it. I'm just saying that there should be an architecture out there where they could, for the future Halo games, basically use some kind of shared library.
I have no doubt there's different ways to implement what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't know if they're going to do that or not. I have, you know what I mean, I don't think anyone outside of 343 knows if they're going to do that or not, or what their plans are, or what their solution is to that kind of problem, if it is a problem from their perspective. So who knows?
Yeah, advice to 343. So. Advice to 343. Make Halo 4 so that you can add DLC armor onto the maps. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also another piece of advice, you want 343, you want to be awesome, put in that Defiant helmet that we never got, put in that bring back the Hayabusa helmet, and also bring back the katana.
Yes.
Bring
oh back those are awesome.
Yeah, bring back the katana, bring back all those things, and you're awesome.
Be able to use it in multiplayer too. It's like an assassinate people.
Yeah, seriously.
Use connect, use the katana.
Yeah, someone like, just draws out this long sword.
It's like
sword.
Fruit Ninja.
Halo Ninja.
Yeah.
That'd be Halo interesting, Ninja. Like, little bonus game that you get is if you have a connect, you could use, like, Master Chief Fruit Ninja.
You cut up your little Halo cereal and marshmallows are grunts.
Yeah, grunts, yeah. Or flutters, or whatever.
But in the realm of reality... Defiant helmet, Hayabusa helmet, katana. Get to it.
Now.
I don't know about the Defiant helmet.
Why not? We never got it. I never saw it,
so that's why I don't care.
I'll link you the screenshot right now.
As far as Force, though, they're going to have a different type of... they're going to have to rework the design, though. Because the armor is not as boxy anymore. So... They're gonna have to make it sleek looking.
Hi, my name is Boxy.
Oh my gosh. I'm about
all the Spartan 4s, though, are a lot taller, slimmer, and sleeker, though.
Yeah.
All that armor basically has to be redone.
Dusty, there you go. There's a link. There's the Defiant helmet that we never got with one eye.
That means I have to get back to my computer.
What's a computer again?
Well, fearing that you're using one to record this podcast, I hope you know where the computer is.
No, he's actually on the Skype app on his PSP.
Oh, you mean his PS Vita?
Well, no, the PSP actually has a Skype app. I've used it once. It's all right.
You would.
Wink.
That really sucks for her, though. Like, she hasn't had internet for 3 weeks.
Internet for 3 weeks? No, three days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Piggy.
Hey, while we're...
Wink.
While we're on a little pause here, we'd like to introduce Brendan, or Last Iconoclast. He was a bit late because he...
Slash Monster Voyeur, slash...
Oh, wait, we have someone else in here now?
Yeah, whatever name he goes by.
Oh, way to join the Skype call, like, 20 minutes before we'll be done.
He's been, like, sitting here for the last, like, 10 minutes just listening to us, like, a little creeper guy.
Oh. Yeah, I've been sitting here. I was like, ugh.
You should have just, like, interrupted the podcast and be like, yeah, what's
no,
up, guys?
No, that was a golden. That was some of the best discussion we've had.
I know, that's why I was just kind of sitting in awe, and I was just writing funny things in the chat box.
Writing funny things.
Yeah. Anybody else get chills when Cortana yells at Master Chief?
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't get chills.
Well,
but, hey.
Is she yelling at Master Chief?
Oh, I don't know. I like to think so.
She's on her PMS, her cyber PMS.
She could be yelling at, like, whatever this AI is, that she's not going to let it leave the planet.
Yeah.
There's multiple things she could be saying that.
She's pretty much like yelling from the bridge of the Infinity, and we knew for a fact that the Infinity gets off Requiem.
Yeah. That's true.
Wait. Well, she's like basically in love with Master Chief. I doubt she would scream at him like that unless he was doing something like bold and radical for the situation or something. In Infinity, I mean, I doubt the Infinity is going to be stuck there.
He's going to pull up another Halo 1.
It's definitely not stuck there because they said Spartan Ops takes place 6 months after the events of the campaign, and you return to Requiem on Spartan Ops. So the ship's gone. Pretty much confirmed.
That would just seem so like anticlimactic for them to make this giant like mega starship and then it's just stuck there.
That'd be funny if they actually pull off another Halo 1. It's like, we need to destroy this planet.
Oh, blow up the
Requiem.
Epic Warthog chase through the Requiem.
They're losing their creativity. Yeah, really.
That would be the longest Warthog chase scene.
That'd be epic.
How long was the Pillar of Autumn? I mean, it wasn't.
Not as long as...
10, yeah, maybe a kilometer or something.
I mean, imagine that run times about 4 or 5.
That'd be funny, dude. It'd be like Flood and Prometheus fighting everywhere, and then there'd be like people...
Well, hopefully there's none of the Flood carrier forms exploding all over my tires.
Oh my gosh. That would suck. But then again, that'd be pretty comical.
Those were annoying.
Hey, shout out to that achievement in Halo Anniversary where you can't tip over in the run, right?
We have to do in that achievement.
Achievement horrible.
That was actually not that hard.
What did you have to do, though? Like,
none of the CEA achievements were too hard, except for
them were
like one.
A little frustrating.
More frustrating, but not hard.
As a person deep in poverty, what do you have to do for that achievement? I have not played CEA at all, so
deep in poverty.
Deep in
But what did you have to do with the achievement? You tip over, like, a carrier form or something?
No, you had to get through the run without your Warthog tipping over. Like, flipping
over. Without being ejected from your Warthog.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. Pretty, like, obnoxious.
That's actually pretty easy, because, like, considering how
you just
fast
drive
the Warthog
carefully.
Is in Halo 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, drive... Don't be an Asian woman. No.
Watch the stereotypes. Watch the stereotypes.
Yeah, pulling stereotypes in gaming podcasts.
To get back to the Cortana thing, I like to just think it's Cortana yelling at Chief because the last time he left her, I mean, anyone who read the book, she went through a lot of torture from the grave mind. I mean, she was left behind. He had to go get her.
He kept his promise.
Oh, yeah, he kept his promise, but she went through hell.
But she might have been rampant though, because like, she's probably exceeded her operational limit.
Yeah, and there's the whole debate around... Since she's been exposed to foreign technology, is there some way that she can be preserved now? Because you look at the Halo monitors, like Guilty Spark and Penitent Tangent, they were around for, what, thousands of years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible that they may find some kind of technology where she could be more sustained. Granted, I think it's going to be too much of a driving plot point in the Halo series that they're going to just let her go rampant anyways.
Well, I mean, if they manage to preserve her, it's probably going to be in like some other a contained, because like you need, instead of a chip, because that chip has very very little storage, you need to have like something like a ship, like a construct.
Wait, the ship has little storage?
No, the chip, not the ship.
Oh, the chip. Okay.
Yeah, because like the Halo ring is like huge, and you could probably preserve her, like a Forerunner construct could probably preserve her. So she'd be essentially stuck there unless she made copies of herself to bring to Earth for
Well, I mean, if you read the books, you know that she usually reads. She goes through a lot of data and then indexes it and then deletes
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't imagine it being so far flung that if she continues to go rampant, and it seems like that'll be, Dustin said, a driving plot point through the story. I mean, at earliest, we might say see that resolution to her, you know, being part of some foreigner technology that makes her last longer. Earliest, maybe towards the end of the second sequel. But I could have very easily imagined her becoming, like, one of the driving enemies of the game, going rampant and having access to all the foreigner technology, maybe prolonging whatever kind of war or conflict we get to see after Halo 4.
That would be a nice thing to do. Cause, I mean,
no, it wouldn't. It'd be terrible.
Yeah, well, dynamic with Halo.
Hey, more explosions.
Cortana? Anyway, just put Cortana against Chief? It's idiotic. It's predictable and idiotic.
I just think her getting pissed off at the Chief, like super pissed, would be more likely if he had not kept his promise completely the first time, which he did, so he's fine.
She's an AI. Sure, she's not a teenage girl upset.
No, she is, though, but she kind of is, really.
Like, come on.
She's the most human of the AIs that are out there.
Absolutely.
I think that it would actually be more driving to her character. I mean, she's a favorite character to a lot of people in this franchise. I mean, my younger sister, who knows nothing of the Halo storyline, when she saw the recent Halo 4 trailer and saw Cortana going balls off the wall, she was, like, upset. She was like, what's going to happen to Cortana? She doesn't know anything about any of the characters, but she really connects with that character, and she's young. And I think if we see a direct turnaround, she's been so helpful in all the past games, and it's been kind of, how do I put this?
Delicately?
Yeah, delicately. Like, if we see her have a complete turnaround, she's an enemy now, you see that inner conflict with the Chief, who has an attachment to her. Now he has to fight or resolve whatever's going wrong with her. I think that could definitely drive a trilogy of games. And if who we think it, and are we all on the same page? Do we think that the Didact is the main enemy of Halo 4?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's most
not
likely.
Sure.
No,
not really.
He's the best candidate at this point, though.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's say he is. Let's say he's at least the general of the Promethean Knights and whatnot. Like, he's kind of leading these guys on against the humanity on Requiem. If they were to take his character through like half of this trilogy, and then Cortana ends up becoming this end-all, be-all, way worse than the Didact, with all the power she has at her fingertips, I could see that driving three games. You know, I don't see the Didact driving three games. He's just a character that they're just now introducing. He doesn't have a lot of.
How do you know the Didact couldn't carry three games? You have no idea what the character's motivations are, or anything really.
That's my own opinion. Reading all the books, I would imagine.
Yeah, even some reading of the books, we don't know if it is the Didact. We have no idea why the hell he'd be even fighting against us.
Oh yeah,
you
no,
know what I'm
I.
Saying? So I we don't really know how far. If that's the case, that's the story. We don't even know how far that could take us.
But if it is the case, in my opinion, I don't see him driving through games.
That's just writing off the story before you even know it's there.
I'm not writing off any story. Whatever they're going to do is going to wow me either way. Whether it's what I predict or whether it's not.
I just is wait and see, really. I think it's just the best way to approach it. We just don't know. There's far too many unknowns right now. Like, the Thursday War will clear up some stuff. But even now, I think they're deliberately keeping us out of the dark. And I'm kind of glad, one way, the spoiler fan inside me isn't. But I'm glad, one way, because it means a lot of the stuff when we play the game just will be new to us, will be surprised, and we won't see things coming.
And yeah, and it is important, and I enjoy that just the same. These are, once again, these are just some of my thoughts and opinions that I could see them doing, and I could see being pretty compelling.
Then again, speculation is the driver of this podcast, so.
Yeah.
We don't rely on facts here, right?
Yeah, we don't have enough facts to go off of.
There's definitely plenty to go on right now in terms of, for speculation based on what we can know and have known.
Yeah, speculation. And speculation is that voice
Informed
at the end of the trailer.
Speculation.
Yeah. But the voice at the end of the trailer isn't one that we've heard before. And the symbol itself is of the Didact, right? So, I mean, that we could...
It's not exactly the Didact, remember?
Not exactly. It's more modified, though. He hasn't been here for that.
Connect the dots.
It's a Didact's mark upside down with the center filled in and the line completely...
Yeah, I posted the image, the differences. Well,
I'll repost it.
Have a gander at it, just to see pretty clearly that not the same image.
Okay.
And once you look at them side by side, you're like, yeah, that's similar, but notably different.
Yeah.
Ooh, so one of the things with being on Requiem and all is like, if Cortana gets access to like these foreigner systems, she's gonna be taking on a lot of data. Isn't that gonna fuel the rampancy?
Yeah, that's one of the.
Doesn't her age span fuel the rampancy? She doesn't need anything.
Well,
it's an overthinking issue.
I don't think it's.
She learns herself to death.
It's operational. So. It's not
learns herself to death. That's called school racks.
It's quite an operational duration because it was just in terms of data. The first Halo would have killed her because of the amount of data I imagine will be inside the Forerunner. Technology that she interacted with on the first Halo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Yeah. She's definitely well past her sell-by date, to put it that way.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I'm sure it could be something easily to explain away if she's being mixed in with this foreign technology. I'm sure she...
Yeah, the funny thing is, because...
find a way in the plot to become part of that and extend her own
It's far too easy to magic wand that away with a MacGuffin, with a Forerunner MacGuffin.
MacGuffin.
And say, and, you know, just turn around and say, well, it's Forerunner magic and she's fine now. You know?
Well, not necessarily is just now happening in this game, but, I mean...
It could have been over time.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's been exposing herself to it, you know, a little by little since Halo 1. So it could be easy to say that, you know.
It's like a drug addiction.
Yeah, her complex in itself has become so much, has been enveloped in so much foreign technology as it is, that, yeah, it's driving her insane. But she's already 1 year past when they're decommissioned. Maybe that could show that, like, she's already showing some signs of having a prolonged life, and she might find a way to extend it even further with more foreign technology.
Yeah, it's like a healthy drug addiction. It keeps her alive.
Yeah.
There's many different aspects to why Cortana could be kept alive or not, though. I mean, another reason that kind of just went through my head was, look at what kind of person Dr. Halsey is, and Cortana has the characteristics of being determined, tough, like Halsey would be, and stubborn. So... I mean, that might give her an edge to where she can last a little bit longer.
Take a gander right now where Halsey is in the universe. At the end of Glasslands, Halsey is in a place where she's never really been before. And it's funny because Cortana in Halo 4 is more physically in a place where she hasn't been before.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting to see those two characters side by side in the universe, where they're at, what they're at, what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think... By updating the readers and fans on Halsey's situation, I think they probably want us to draw some parallels to Cortana the next time we see her, maybe.
Do you think we'll see Halsey back in a game?
Perhaps. Maybe the circle will complete itself.
It's too convoluted to explain away into the game. Like maybe Halo 4 or 5, and maybe they come back out of Requiem and there's time to sit down and smell a coffee, like, but no, not with Requiem. I want all new. I want alien exploration mysteries of the yin yang. You know, I want. That's what I want. And 4, I want back to the old Halo 1 feeling of what the hell's going to happen next? Where the hell am I? What the hell? You know what I mean? Just that awe and mystery you get from the first game.
Yeah, I agree.
Halsey would take us out of that, I think.
Oh, yeah, they can, like, completely repeat the first trilogy. Yeah, I see what you mean, because, like, yeah, Halo 1 and Halo 4 are exploration, and then, like, Halo 5 will be, like, the new Halo 2, so then they can do the convoluted plot that nobody understands with the plant monster in the lake. Yeah.
I'm just saying, with Halo 1, it's more by establishing the setup for the next trilogy. Like, so later on, they have time to divulge and get into the more nitty-gritty things, but for the setup, you want just the big master strokes, the broad strokes, the, you know what I mean, for... It's a more simpler, pared-down game, basically, in terms of story and plot. That's what I want for Halo 4. Just slightly less convoluted. But even with Spartan, I'm sure you're hardly going to be able to avoid that. But I'm talking about just factually speaking. Having Spartan Ops in a campaign side by side, it's going to be convoluted, no matter which way you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they strike a delicate balance, because there was an interview today. Well, at least it was posted today, that said that some of the big ticket items in the plot are going to happen in Spartan Ops outside of the campaign, because Spartan Ops is the transition title, the transition piece between Halo 4 and Halo 5. They said that it's natural for big ticket plot items to happen in Spartan Ops. So that means the campaign isn't going to be the only place for the big shocking moments, you know what I mean? That's a whole different way of approaching Halo. And I don't really know how that's going to play out. I have faith they'll do their best, but blindly assuming that it's going to be awesomely done at this point, you know what I mean? It's a bit naive.
Hmm.
I mean, it could be a letdown, but...
I do like lava in a Halo game for once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mentioned that on the last Pod TV thing that I did. And it's going to be interesting to see how they make you interact with that, because if you, like, step in lava... This is from a purely functional standpoint.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, will your shields just kind of slowly die out? Like, if you were standing in front of a flamethrower, or could your armor light on fire, and then if you lost your shield, you're just dead? Or,
well, you can't survive in 3 feet of water, so I don't know how you're going to survive in water.
But you can survive in outer space.
I mean, Tommy Lee Jones can do it, right? But I don't think Master Chief. No.
Yeah. But honestly, though, it would be interesting, because, like, in Halo Ghost of Onyx, the Spartan team, blue team, I think, with Fred, Kelly, no, not Fred, Linda, and all the other people.
Holly.
They were in Antarctica, I think, in an underwater mission. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if they actually, made it so where you can actually go underwater. But yeah, it's, in terms of lava, though, I'd be interesting to see. Because I've never seen it other than in the first appearance in trailer.
Right. Yeah. And I also want to agree that I don't think we're going to see Halsey in the first game. I do think her story is going to be carried on with the books between 4 and 5. I know Thursday War comes out in October, right? That's before Halo 4.
No, yep. Thursday War comes out August 28th. Or wait, okay. Right? Doesn't it?
Okay.
I think it does.
Well, it's just before Halo 4, so
yeah,
it's
either way,
primer
before Halo 4.
Going in there.
Yeah, so most likely we'll have another book that between 4 and 5 that connects to the kind of maybe leads Halsey into whatever Halo 5.
Oh, wait, my bad. I'm retarded. The next World of Warcraft novel comes out August 28th. World of Warcraft Tides of War coming out August 28th. But you're right. The Thursday War comes out in October, yeah.
Oh, okay. Either way.
It sounds right about the time the Forge Unto Dawn live action thing will hit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Cool. All
right. Well, so one more thing I want to kind of touch on. Unless you guys have some other stuff you want to talk on afterwards, it's just kind of the graphics overhaul that Halo 4 has. Because if you look at some of that flora that was in the game, there's a lot of detail in that.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like the graphics engine is completely new. And, I mean, I thought they were being serious when they...
It's the same core Halo engine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Since Halo 1, essentially.
But I mean, I thought they were talking about how they maxed out all the graphic stuff with Reach. This is like 2-3 times better than what we saw in Reach.
But a lot of that's just to build up hype. A lot of that isn't entirely true. You and I both know that, Dusty.
Forget about quotes. He's talking about the visuals. Just looking at the game. He's just being honest. That's what the game looks like to him. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, but their credibility of saying, "Oh, Reach is like pushing it as far as we can go. They can't do any better than this." I mean, a lot of that's just to build a pipe. And, they really can do it better than every single time.
If you can run CryEngine 3 on an Xbox, I mean, you're fine. But
yeah.
CryEngine 3 runs very poorly on the Xbox. No offense.
Yeah, but still, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice engine, but it runs like crap. The Halo engine. Well, with what Forge do?
It's more optimized. Forge
kills it. you Forge enough things on there, you're going to kill the graphics side of Halo.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do with the Halo Force Forge.
I'm super excited. I was really bummed to find out they didn't talk about it at Forge.
Well, I mean, like, we'll learn more in due time, so, I mean, it's not going to be too...
I can see it being their last... We'll see something at PAX, probably, for that.
Yeah.
Because Forge and Theater are two of those things where they're nice to have, but they're not part of the core gameplay of Halo.
Well, not part of the core gameplay, but they're part of the core experience, I'd say, at this point.
Yeah.
If you look at Halo 3 and
Reach, but not everyone
all
uses
the user-generated content.
Yeah, no, that's right. The two big things really are
core experience for a lot of people, but you know what I mean? That's...
Yeah, but for the casual Halo player, they're not something that you necessarily go out and use.
Yeah, the casual...
For us, it's different.
The casual is usually a terrible person. Let's get out of the gate, number one.
Come on.
Be nice,
people. Both of you guys.
Dusty is absolutely on the ball here. The two biggest are campaign multiplayer, but the casual, who cares about them? Hardcore is what matters. We are hardcore. So Forge and Theater do matter to us.
Are you calling me a Care Bear for liking Forge and also being good at Halo?
No, I'm saying you're a good person because you're hardcore and you like those things because you're hardcore.
Well, you
also have to appease, like, there's...
Render the Theater was going to be in Halo 4, but you do see Theater being used on the MLG gameplay that was released a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that they were able to film, they all of that is played back on the Theater system in Halo 4.
Oh, how do
you see... No,
they were
because
playing
he was,
it live, and he had all
not the live stuff, the recorded
life?
Stuff, the commentaries that were put up after that.
Yeah, all the commentary stuff.
They play it from the theater mode. You see the dock at the bottom with the same symbol, the same layout. It's theater mode being played from theater mode in Halo 4. It's not some.
Do you have
some
screenshot that for me?
I could.
Those dots, because I don't remember seeing any theater controls at all.
It's real quick and it's real brief, but it fades away just like it does in Halo Reach.
Well, if you can screenshot that for me, just document it in any fashion for me, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not so much of a big deal because it's a no-brainer that theater is going to be in the game.
I know it's not such a big deal, but having actual documented proof that's there to some people is a big deal.
Oh, no, I get that. I mean, the video's up online. I'll send you a link to the video.
But definitely,
I caught it, But Forge is definitely something that I was really excited about. And yeah, I understand that they need to flounder out their news leading up to the game evenly. So I get that. But I'm really excited to see what they do for Forge.
After seeing their presentation of the campaign demo, I'm kind of glad that they didn't release any campaign information before E3.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I kind of spoiled it then.
Yeah, I thought the presentation that they did was superb. Because they kept all this information back, and the presentation was phenomenal.
I mean, it's the only thing that kept the E3, the Microsoft conference from being live. So I mean,
yeah,
it's a given that even since Halo 4 was the headliner for that. I mean, it's a given. It's going to be the best title this year as far as Halo goes yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go on, Dusty.
I was going to say, I was already impressed with some of the multiplayer stuff that we got, with all the stuff that we got from Game Informer. But then seeing this campaign stuff, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And all the audio stuff that they've done with it, all the soundtracks,
the weapons sound
amazing.
They sound more lethal. They sound a lot more lethal than
in campaign. Now, the multiplayer stuff, I think a lot of people were saying there were audio bugs because it sounded like everything had a silencer on it.
Yeah, like the Covenant Storm Rifle sounded like it was shooting like human bullets or something.
It sounded
like weird.
Like pea shooters or something.
Yeah, like pea shooter, like little darts or something.
And maybe that's just the sound that we're going to get in war games because it's a virtual environment. Maybe that's why.
Do you know how disappointing that would be?
Yeah, I know. I would be disappointed too, but I'm just saying for the time being.
They're not doing that. That'd be absolutely retarded. They're not doing that.
Then again, though, like the weapons could be archived physically into Infinity, so I mean, it's not like everything's simulated. I mean, yeah. I guess the map would be the only thing simulated.
I had some doubts. I mean, just listening to the BR in this game sounds a lot quicker, more plasticky, I guess is the only word I use to describe it. You know, there's something to...
In the war games, yeah.
Yeah, in the war games for sure. But, you know, there's something to having that echo from Halo 3 whenever you shot the thing, you know, hearing it
race off the map. Yeah, it sounds like the barrel is a lot closer, it's a lot farther away, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, it sounds like it has a silencer on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was just in the war games. In the campaign, it sounded like a beast.
Oh, yeah, in the campaign, it was much, much...
So, much
I wouldn't worry about the audio. I think all their audio production just isn't there yet. It's just like in development still.
Yeah. Just a little tuning here and there, and I'm sure it'll be. I mean, I have no doubt that when I'm playing the game, I have a headset on, I'm hearing it through the headset, and I have my controller vibrating when I shoot the thing, it'll be just as real as it ever was.
Hmm.
What I'm skeptical about is that the DMR is in this game as well, and I don't know, because like the BR. It's basically the DMR basically replaced the BR in Halo Reach for lore. So I mean,
not everyone hates the DMR though.
I
don't hate the DMR.
DMR's all right.
I feel impartial to it though, because I mean, I prefer the BR better.
I think the only reason people hate the DMR is because of Bloom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not just that.
TU has basically fixed that. TU is the way Reach should have been at launch.
Yeah, the TU. For the DMR is on the money.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like the
85%
leading shots and it with the semi-automatic rifle, I think I feel it should have been a little more powerful. But with the BR, it kind of made more sense because we were using burst fire and it was a little bit inaccurate per se.
So funny little factoid, but the light rifle. It's supposed to have a 3-shot burst when you're zoomed out and a 1-shot when you're zoomed in. Which reminded me, in Halo 2, that's how the BR was supposed to be. That's what it was during the demo, was when you were zoomed out, it was the 3-shot, and then when you zoomed in, it was the 1-shot.
And it ended up just being all burst fire. So, I mean, I guess now they'd probably pull it off, but I feel impartial to it. Because either way, it's still a cool gun, and it's just awesome.
I just think it's cool having like multiple like weapons within the same class, having both the BR and the DMR. Like it's just some nice variety, and you know both weapons have their fan bases.
But then again, though, like how would you prefer to like say separate the role? Because like the BR and DMR basically have the same role. I mean, like unless they make the DMR more powerful and they have it's more of a sniper hybrid, then I guess it makes sense to have the DMR in the game as well. But I don't know. I mean, having two
ships
being killed at once, you can't cross map in that achievement so easy.
Cross mapping. I did on a breakpoint.
Yeah.
I wonder how far their armory is going to go with the customization options. I mean, are we going to see things like SMG and stuff? I don't know. Like, it's just I wonder how many weapons they're going to call back That'd into cool. the game that we haven't seen so far.
Yeah, SMG is one of the things I really wanted. It also dual wielding, because I mean, dual wielding is. I don't know, it's like, if you're Spartan 4 and Spartan Ops, I guess it'd make more sense because since you have the extra strength with the upgrades of the Spartan 4 suit, then...
They already said they're not doing dual wielding anyways.
Yeah.
yeah. Another dream that's broken.
I really don't see the need for dual wielding.
Me neither.
But it was fun. Freaking.
Still, I mean, if you want to look like a bad
Plasma rifle, SMG combo. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say earlier, though, was 343, if you want to make Halo 4 Forge amazing, two things, color and organic materials.
Yeah, we covered this last... Yeah, because, like...
It's a color palette. Give us a color palette, please.
And more organic materials, not just boring blocks.
Give us a Go ahead. A 3-pixel paintbrush that just we can just paint with it. Only 3 pixels though, so we have to torture it with like 5 hours of painting this one single block, and then we copy it, and it makes the file becomes corrupted, and we can't use it anymore.
More than color, more than color, I would like to see like a skin set for each item, you know, like a 2x2 wall piece. Like if you have the option between human variety, Forerunner variety, and Covenant variety, that would make my day.
That's what I've been saying. Copycat.
And I'm sorry. Also have like different, like say you have a ship corridor, you also have that, so you can have like a human ship corridor and a Forerunner ship corridor, whatever is applicable.
Yeah.
So it's not just like one, like you can actually distinguish between like a wall, like a wall of a, like the outer wall of a ship with armor and stuff, and the interior corridors. Because I mean, I build ships a lot in Forge, so
I'm sure I try to build. And typically I build, like Daph said, organic material would be right up my alley as well. I like to make things feel organic as it is, and it's hard to do that when you have a million rocks.
Not just these like gray, very like sterile feeling blocks. Give us like, you know, like I said, pieces of wood, pieces of metal, like looks like materials you ripped off of like a building, like real stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like we've talked about this before, but like I also want like say you want the map to have a certain feel, like have it nighttime or daytime, have a switch. Or weather is another thing I forgot.
Oh yeah, weather. Yeah, rain. Yeah, they can never achieve an ODST. Give us some rain finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
And where we're going with it now?
There was rain. Well,
no, there wasn't. The engine couldn't do it.
No, there was rain.
No.
We had discussion subtle. Before on this podcast, and we went back. Someone went on and confirmed that there was rain in the game. We already had this discussion on this podcast once.
I remember listening to the Bungie podcast like way back, and they said the engine just couldn't do it. There's no rain in the game.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
There's rain in there.
It's all facade.
Either or, what we were just talking about, I think, is the more likely thing we're going to see in Forge. Yeah. But I know what a lot of people have wanted is, like the weather, the different times of day, something more along the lines of the Far Cry 2 or the Far Cry 3 map maker, where you start with flat plane and you can raise and
definitely
raise and decline various pieces of the land, add rivers, you know, raise water levels, stuff like that.
The only problem I have with that though, the Far Cry 2 editor, the Dune engine, is that you don't place water source blocks where you're gonna make like actual waterfalls. You have to use the water tanks and shoot them to actually make waterfalls, but they don't do anything though.
But for rivers, lakes, and ponds, it's nice to raise the water all up on one plane from the bottom up.
If they have a terrain editor as opposed to just a map editor, then I want them to give us like, say we need to spawn water here, and then we'll make like whatever. So it's a bit more flexible as opposed to like just having using shield doors to mimic water.
Yeah. And the great analogy I've heard recently, I can't remember exactly where I've heard it or who said it, but was the Forge that we know and love and have now is a map editor, but what everybody wants is a map maker. And I think something that Far Cry 2 has is more along the lines of a map maker, where you start with completely nothing and you get to, you know, over a couple hours' time, create something completely unique.
Yeah.
You know what else Forge should have in Halo 4? Doors that we can open and close with switches. Switches that we can open and press.
Yeah. That would be very nice. Like Gemini, you could have a switch where you either have to press the button.
Yeah, or like the bases in Standoff in Halo 3 with those doors you could close or whatever.
Close them at this time. But,
that's just a one-shot thing.
Another thing I want.
Yeah, having switches is another big thing.
Switches. But another thing I want, though, is other than movable blocks, is that I want, like, say, you want to make the map look eerie, like have like a battle scarred battle scarred version of a block.
Like scorches?
Yeah, like scorches, or like you want to make this piece of metal, like you want to make it look like as if a plane crash or something. You want the metal to glow as if it was still hot. I want that to be in the next Forge, because that would really, really help, and also illumination in maps as well. So,
all right. Well, we have to say goodbye to Slightly Live. He has to leave. So,
yeah.
I'll see you guys there.
So Amen. thanks for coming on and nice giving us your wisdom.
Yeah. Good having nice you meet on.
You. Laters.
Laters.
Yep. Have a good one.
So yeah, hopefully we'll get some Forge stuff. I would guess at least PAX. We'll see some Forge related info. Like not necessarily like big stuff, but if they have any big announcements for Forge, like if they do have that terrain builder, I would assume that would be Forge 3.0. Because if they do anything that we had like in Reach with the Forge palette and something like a Forge world, and I guess if they had texture palettes, maybe that would classify as a Forge 3.0. But I'm thinking Forge, that would be more of a Forge 2.5.
Yeah,
because it's like halfway, you're not really editing the entire map. Because like what they gave us in Reach was acceptable. It wasn't like, hey, this is going to be totally great, because I wanted to just wreck all those mountains. Like, those were hindrances to what I was trying to make on the map. Yeah. Hey, I mean, like, I can't Forge make a World, ship.
And then on Forge World, you wanted to use some of the places on the map that were hard-set boundaries where you couldn't go to.
Exactly, yeah. I wanted to make an entire ocean map. And sometimes the other, like scenery in the background, like the cliff, it was a bit too short. I wanted to make a beach, like a little beach base, but like the limitations of how far the sand went into the water and then the cliff, it was just really, really annoying. So I really do hope that they actually give us a terrain editor implemented into Forge.
And I think if they really want to impress, I think that's what we'll see.
Also, get rid of the, like, instead of the credit system, give us, like, what they did in Far Cry 2, where it shows us a frame rate, and it'll show a bar, and based on the amount of items you have, the bar will increase and say, well, if you go past this point, this map will become slower in frame rate or something.
So if I want to have a choppy, laggy, piece of crap map, let me have it.
Yeah, because like, we have very bad problems with trying to have like maps that have like the integrated parts. You know how you slide past, you put parts inside of each other, like trying to make like a bridge or something.
Yeah.
Like I've had problems with that where like the pieces actually flash. And it really like distracts from the gameplay. So I mean,
yeah, too much on the screen at one time.
It's just the textures like fighting for who's on top.
They
need to kind of fix that.
No, and I agree with you, Raxus. I think the benefit to that is the people who make the giant statues and stuff like that. They're not really caring about frame rate because you're not trying to shoot another guy on that map. They're just trying to make something that looks truly magnificent, and they need every piece they can get.
Yeah. I mean, that's what really annoyed me in both iterations of Forge. I mean, in Halo 3 and Halo Reach, the credit system was a bit unnecessary, though. Unless, like, it did serve that purpose. And honestly, I mean, like, if there are even more parts, like, if there are more things I could play with, I mean, yeah, it makes sense to have that. So, I mean, if you're going to have doors, definitely, because frame rate, you're going to have to worry about moving parts and things that constantly move around, so...
I mean, you could definitely have a limit on how many pieces that you have together of a certain piece, but don't limit, like, the total amount of pieces that you can throw on the map. So, yeah, say you can use 100 walls. Okay, that's fine. But don't say that you can only use a total of, like, 1,000, however that adds up to what you put on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already nice that the spawn points are free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really.
That would be a nightmare.
Pain in the ass is putting them on the map.
Another thing, though, I want lights. I want lights that I can put in, like, not just in ball form, like little ball. And those are really expensive to put in the map anyway. But like, I want
like a street lamp.
Yeah, maybe a street lamp.
Like something with an actual formation to it.
Yeah. Because I was trying to make.
You wouldn't
ship.
Even have to do that necessarily. You could just say like the lights that we have make. Like, just give us more of those. We can, like,
maybe
craft,
make them a little smaller,
poles.
But make the object size itself smaller, but the effect larger, perhaps?
And make them transparent, because, like, if you're going to, like, jump on a little ball of light, that doesn't really make sense. It's like, hey, well, I'm standing in hard light. Well, no, you're not. You're going to fall to the floor.
Hard light shields, man.
Yeah, really.
Tron, man, Tron.
It's Tron. It's Halo Tron.
Well, if you look at the lighting in Halo 4 as well, it looks like if we do get those kind of source light stuff, we'll actually get real-time shadow.
Yeah.
Because that would be, like, even in the campaign demo, you could see on the Master Chief's visor on the inside, we could see the actual helmet pieces, that the shading on those actually changed with where he was and how the sun reflected on it. So there is definitely a lot more real-time lighting events going on in Halo 4 than there was in any of the other Halo games. Not like the static shadow stuff that we have, but actual real dynamic lighting.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how much, like, how much it could render, like, the engine, how much it could render, like, with, in, like, extreme stress. Because in multiplayer, you have a lot of objects moving at the same time, and you have, like, everything moving around, and shadows being cast, rock. Maybe if rockets, if they move slow enough, like in the other games, you can actually see their shadows, or even plasma bolts, or if they cast even more light, they would cast, flashlights, like moving around the map.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What I'd like to see is another, the original, not reveal trailer, but I think it was one of the trailers that they put out for, one of the Vidocs, I think, for Halo Reach, was where they showed, you know, the sparks falling on top of the Wraith.
We never saw that. We never saw any of that kind of like
Well, that's because it's you're seeing it in a test format.
It's a
you're
demo.
Not
yeah,
seeing
it's,
it.
It's
yeah. So I just like to see a tech demo of the Halo 4 stuff. I know it's pretty. Yeah, as we've already said, it's relative to Halo Reach's, but it's been refined. I'd like to see how much more it's been refined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of what Brandon was saying earlier about the big statues and magnificent things and such, you guys remember when they on like Waypoint and stuff they showed off those big the statues of Noble Team.
Yeah.
Those big things. Yeah, I remember most of them looked pretty good, but like a couple of them like looked really choppy when the camera was spinning around. Like it kept like glitching up the statue pieces, but it looked really weird. Choppy like crap.
Yeah.
Like Dusty said earlier, it's like textures should I compete for with the precedence of like
what's on top and what's
top.
Not. Yeah, what's catching the
because everything's inside each other. Basically the textures are just conflicting each other over whichever is like top.
Well, at that point, it's like there used to be a set point where it's just a static texture. So you absolutely define which one's on, what you're going to show and which ones you're not. Because there shouldn't be any of this back and forth if it's done correctly. If the two are merging, then one of them's either going to dominate the other or they're going to somehow mix and then you just have that static overlay. It shouldn't be like really popping back and forth. There's something weird with how they have their engine. That is causing that to happen.
Yeah, and I think it's typically how light reacts with that object. So I think that weather would also be kind of a solution to that in whatever new forge we get because
like since it's moving, it's only in one spot.
Yeah, the problem with having effects is even though there's a purple one and that makes everything look like nighttime, it's not really nighttime. The sun's still out, and that's still reacting with the object.
It's a solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more. Come on, one more. Come on, one more. All
one
right.
More.
Oh, I won. I think I won. Did I win? I won. Oh, I lost. Damn it.
Did you lose the game?
Oh. Sure, lost the game. Lost the game. Oh, yeah. By the way, random. Okay, remember last episode? I could not remember that, like, psychology term for Dusty and all those people that he said he knew that didn't, like, lost. Well, it's called the false consensus effect. You see, Dusty, if you have a bunch of like-minded people all around you, and those people all have similar television interests and disinterests, and then they all don't like Lost because of their mindset, which then it's you thinking that people in general don't like Lost. Well, that's the false consensus effect. It's a false consensus of people who don't like Lost.
I like Lost.
Exactly. Even though psychology is a liberal BS science.
Okay. I mean, it's useless science, but, like, going back...
It is useless science, yeah, you are right.
But, like, going back, though, like, what if the story just ends up becoming a little Lost?
In Halo 4?
Yeah, Halo would be a Lost. Like, it would be just... something similar to that storyline. Oh, we left the island, but we need to go back because we just found out we're all dead.
We have to go back, Kate. We have to go back.
So Master Chief's just going to wake up bleeding, dying in a field of grass?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. No, it's like his consciousness transfers to the dead Spartan from Halo Reach.
Ah, yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
It's actually all from the point of view of Samuel, was it, who gives his life up at the end of First Strike, or in the beginning of First Strike, or
in the beginning
Fall of Reach or something.
Fall of Reach.
Yeah, it's all him seeing what could have panned out, and then he just explodes.
It's like all the story we know so far is just a ploy. It's just a dream from Samuel. Samuel's like, oh, what happened to John? What happened to Linda? What happened to Kelly? All the lore is just like a facade.
Well, no, it's about Samuel. He has to find he has to get it. He has his list of candidates. He has to pick a new one to be the protector of Reach from his brother, the Smoke Monster.
Oh, but the campaign though, I really hope they do have some moments like from Halo 1, where like in Different Diggle Spark, where you go into the Varnish structure and find the Flood. I want it to be more like Dead Space in that regard. Just like how Mass Effect 3 did that little Dead Space little moment where you hear the banshees in the background.
Yeah.
So, I hope they have some kind of flow, per se.
I know talked a lot about visuals. Oh, sorry. But no, I know we talked a lot about visuals on the trailer and whatnot, but I gotta say, the music is right up there.
They
whatever
did a very
his
good
name
job.
Is. Yeah, for Massive Attack is
Neil
Davidge.
Davidge.
Yeah. Davidge. Yeah.
And so
you got my thumbs up. It's pretty amazing. And every
dun,
time
dun,
I see that
dun,
trailer,
dun,
yeah,
dun, dun,
boom, boom,
dun, dun,
boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Oh yeah,
I'm really looking forward
and,
to it.
And Tojima Sotaro, he did the OST, so he's pretty good.
Yeah,
he
props to him for going out in the field and blowing stuff up.
Yeah, man, he's actually one of my favorites because he did the Metal Gear Solid 4 and some other, I think anime.
Yeah.
So. It's good to see that 343 actually got the good talent out of everywhere. I mean, I've seen other companies try to get like try to rival AAA titles, but I mean, 343, it's basically a super group, and that's the thing I really like about them, because they're from everywhere. They're from BioWare, they're from Infinity Ward, they're from Bungie,
All right. So is there anything else that you guys picked out from the campaign demo that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I think we covered pretty much.
Sorry?
Other than I want to see what happens to the chief after he gets knocked out by the knight.
I think that was honestly only done for theatrical and the purposes of E3. I don't think we're going to see that exactly done.
Yeah.
Although that does bring up an interesting point that we wanted to talk about before we wrapped up. Quick action items. So we had two of those in the campaign demo, and then we had that one scene at the very end where we had the chief punching an elite. Are we gonna now we didn't actually see any options on the screen, like buttons telling you to do quick actions, but do you guys think quick actions would be a possibility for Halo 4?
I don't think so.
I would have to agree with what you said last episode, and that it would be a leap forward because, I played Tip of the Spear like a million times this weekend because of the, I think one of the challenges is based around it, or I'm trying to beat the game on Legendary, and it is a pain in the that when you fly into the spire, it cuts to black, then you fall down out of the sky. That it totally pulls you out of the game. So to have a quick action sequence in the game will leave me enveloped, and I believe that, and I think that's the kind of the route they need to go.
Yeah. They haven't done it in previous iterations of Halo, but I would like to see how they would pull that off, because our boys, like in Reach, like the very beginning of Reach, and the cutscene where they find the elite hit squad, and he gets knocked over, I actually wanted to see, I wanted to press buttons to punch Elite in the face or something, or grab his mandibles and tear it off. But,
yeah.
I mean, like, why'd you just punch, like, yeah, King Kong.
I mean, I wouldn't say that if you fail the quick time events, it necessarily, like, changes how the game outcomes. It's just that you might have to do a different kind of quick time event afterwards. But it would be interesting to have that happen, and you're actually dictating when the moves happen. And of course it is already kind of scripted, but instead of just watching by and seeing it happen, actually be able to kind of be part of the interaction with it might be interesting to some people. Like some people earlier, not, but some people probably would be.
It's a connect, man. Like, freaking like katana and stab the guy in the throat. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Kind of in relation to QuickTime events, something that I remember hearing rumored a lot when we were first starting to see this game was people were saying in multiplayer it would be nice to fight off your own assassination. So, say you get tackled and he's about to pull the knife down on you, if you could kind of tap the button a million times in a second to break his wrist or something and throw it back on him, that would be nice, but I haven't seen that at all in E3.
I don't think it would honestly flow with how Halo operates. I think just kind of kill it. Because then it's like, okay, if I go in for assassination, I don't have this guarantee, so I'm just going to backsmack people every time instead.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's almost no point. There's no incentive.
Yeah, but in campaign, I think it would, you know, if you could stop an elite from punching an energy sword right through your chest, that would definitely be helpful.
In cooperative situations, yeah. But in multiplayer, no, because, like, you get tackled to the ground, the guy just instantly stabs you in the neck. What more can you do if you're just facing down on the ground? Like, what are you gonna do? Like twist your arm like backwards, break your shoulder so you can just deflect a knife or something? Like, what?
Yeah.
So, although I mean, like the animation where they were basically knocking each other over to assassinate the guy.
Yeah, I like
that. That was pretty cool.
It's kind of dark pile. I want it.
Playing rugby here. Halo,
I just imagine like. I just imagine, like, one bomb. Get the bomb! Get the bomb! It's just, like, a pile of dead bodies everywhere.
You know, it's like the iteration of Driftball where everyone just tackles you. It's Halo Rugby.
Yeah.
it's like the bomb is buried under a pile of dead bodies and no one can get to it because there's so many dead bodies around the bomb.
And it, like, detonates, everyone like, goes flying.
Yeah, all the bodies go flying everywhere.
A hurricane of bodies.
It's a bird. Things. It's a plane. It's oh my gosh!
It like kills a guy spawning. That'd be funny to see if like the bodies actually do physical damage to your Spartan when like say like your body's flying in midair, lands on some guy.
Yeah, because you have what like a 2-ton super soldier armor coming towards you. I would assume that if you get hit with one of those things and you can barely get tapped by a warthog, that I'm assuming that body could splatter you.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting game mechanic to throw into the game. So if like if your body gets thrown across the screen, like if someone meleeed you, or if you got a grenade explosion by you and you died, and if you managed to like run someone over with your body, I think you should get the death from the grave for that.
Yeah,
the worst part is whenever like you just die and you're like your body just goes flying across the map because it hits a man cannon. You spawn, you hit your own body.
Oh no!
And you killed two teammates as well, because your body falls down and it's a little man cannon. That would suck. But then again, that'd be hysterical in matchmaking.
Well, I mean, I know a few times where it's like I'm running along and I just see a body fly right in front of my face or land right beside me. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to just have that sense of danger. It's like, oh, wow, that could have killed me. All right, moving on.
Bodies now. That also gives incentive not to teabag, because then people just throw grenades at you.
There are two things I wanted to bring up before we kind of wrap this up is about the campaign. The new, instead of just hearing Cortana or hearing the character talk in your comm, you get to see them in the left corner there.
That's really awesome.
That's a nice new addition to the HUD.
Yeah, I like it a lot. But one question I have about it is, how is Cortana being visually manifested in your visor mode like that? I mean, if she's in
like
your head.
Into your head.
No,
she's visually manifested on one of the holopads. She's just giving a video interpretation. She's just generating it on the fly. It's not like...
Well, I mean, like...
Even though she's a... Go on.
Go ahead. Well, because, like, she's... in Halo 1, you remember putting that ship into your head, and then... Master Chief feels like a really cold feeling in his head for like a few seconds.
Yeah.
That's basically her being going into your brain.
Like she's actually putting like all the waypoints on your HUD. She's actually mapping them out and putting them on
all
there.
All the iPhone apps and all the stat tracking. And she's putting that all into his head. Yeah.
Google Maps open.
Heat maps. Exactly.
There we go.
But even though she's in his head, like she's a chip in his head, and that chip probably linked to his helmet hardware. So.
Okay. Yeah, I understand
that. It's a neural interface, so she basically has direct access.
Like I think it might have just been something about the way she kind of acted around within that in her visual manifestation made it seem as if she was taking environmental feedback or something, maybe as if she was left somewhere and he was getting a recording of her or something.
Hello, you've reached Cortana.
Yeah.
I'm currently thinking about other things, how to protect the galaxy.
It's like, Cortana, I need your help. Please wait again for the next available representative. Yeah.
It's like, Cortana, how do I kill the Didact? Oh, let me just Bing that for you.
Oh,
Xbox, no. Bing Didact, how to kill.
Connect 2000.
Connect 2000. Yeah, we've had use for Xbox Smart Glass now.
Oh, yeah. Cortana just pulls up her iPad and searches.
No, not an iPad. That's like treason. She can pull up her Windows phone.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure they said Smart Glass is multi-platform.
Yep, it is multi-platform. Yeah. Although it's not on the PC, dang it.
Yeah.
Cortana, I want to jam out while I kill some Covenant. Oh, let me just get the Zune going for you.
That'd be nice.
Another thing I wanted to bring up is that another podcast I like to listen to.
Well, no, it's Xbox Music now. It's not Zune.
Oh, yeah, Xbox Music. Unfortunately, because I still have my Zune. I'm kind of upset about that.
This is what, the third name change they've done for their service?
Seriously, this is ridiculous.
No, I have an iPod like everyone else.
Oh, shut up. I got a Zune. I'm looking at it right now. I'm holding it now. I love my Zune. Shut up. I listened to the Giant Bombcast as another podcast, and recently in their E3 coverage, they had David Ellison and Frank O'Connor on, and they were talking about the sequence that they showed of the campaign during E3. It was cut for time for that trailer, so some of the events and sequences that you see there are actually panned out longer across the mission in the actual game.
I mean, that's a given. I mean,
yeah, but that might mean that there might be a little more atmosphere in there, and it might not just be like, oh my god, there's these guys, and then there's these guys, and there's these guys. There might be a little more build up to it. So
that'd be funny if they pull a Halo 2 and not even put that scene in the game. That'd be the greatest.
Wow.
The greatest ploy of ever.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. But it's definitely worth a listen to, Giant Bombcast. I think it was E3 Day 3 that they had them on. And they just kind of pry them for information that they are getting drunk and do give. So it's kind of worth listening to. There's little tidbits thrown around here and there. So from the Guardian himself.
Some podcasts we also enjoy would be Outlandish Podcast. Yet another World of Warcraft podcast. You guys list yours.
Oh my gosh, what do you think this is? Game Bite? We advertise our podcast on our podcast.
No. The Drunk Tank.
Drunk Tank we will support, yes.
Yes.
Your weird WoW stuff?
No, weird WoW stuff.
Thank you. This is the message I tried to get to across to him when we were recording that
WoW,
show.
WoW is awesome, though. We also support the Game Informer podcast. And the Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts
Gamercast Network. Union
Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts Union podcast.
Gamercast Network.
we also support the Michael Savage Weekly podcast.
Oh my gosh.
I don't.
This is all you, Daft.
Michael Savage is who you go for.
I think we told you to keep politics out of this.
No wonder Cortana's yelling. He's yelling at Daft for his
Let's talk about real politics, like UNSC versus Outer Worlds, Outer Colonies.
What, the Human Civil War?
I feel like that's a very akin to, like, the Galactic Republic versus the Confederacy of Independent Systems led by Count Dooku, or whatever, right?
Here we go with more Star Wars references over the night.
Star Wars, Halo, like, they're
unofficial Darth podcast.
But they're so comparable. They're so utterly comparable.
Because the Prometheans are robots, and now they're fighting robots. So, hey, you can fit in.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because they're droids. Exactly. They're droidicas and all that. Yeah.
All right.
That's cool.
I think is
the Didact gonna have a cool, like, bent light, so, like the bent handle with the red? That'd be so cool.
Never mind, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, then. So, we'll get to voicemails next time, guys, because we've almost been recording for 2 hours. So, we don't want to keep this too long.
This is a magnificent show. This is one of the best.
This is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
I'm actually awake this
Our last show, our last couple shows were pretty well, too, because of all the E3 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys haven't checked out the videos, we do kind of have complimenting videos for the podcast that we've done so far. So this one's the campaign. There's going to be a campaign video maybe up before this one or up just after this gets posted. So make sure you be checking out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/podtacktv, or you can do podtacular.com/youtube. Both of those will take you to the same place. If you want to call our voicemail and leave us a voice message before the next show, which will get played, you can call us at 206-339-6937 and leave anything from a funny tale that you have in Halo Reach, Halo 3, a custom map that you worked on and you want people to check out, or anything else that's random and Halo related.
Yeah, and make sure to go to the forums and talk on there about Halo 4 and general gaming and E3 and politics, of course. And be sure to attend our Monday Night Matchmaking every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And there's a thread about that, I believe, in the events board on the forums. And it was pretty fun. We did it last night, played some of the new Invasion maps. It was a fun time. Went on until about 10:30-ish. People leave, people come, people go. So it carries on.
It's big fun.
And although we are having minutes. A number of people coming back from that were kind of part of the old Podtaculars, so we are getting some older members back, which is nice, and we're getting some new ones as well.
The old will rise again.
It is nice.
What are you calling them, zombies or mummies?
No, he's saying that Cthulhu, the priest, has risen from the bottom of the sea, and the old ones are now coming to join us.
Yeah,
to take over
like,
their old
like
yeah.
me. Per se.
No, Cthulhu. All the time. Cthulhu.
You're Cthulhu.
You're Cthulhu. I'm pretty sure that this wasn't the last 20 minutes of the podcast I was on, Dusty.
It turned out to be longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
It turned out to be much longer than that.
Monstrosity.
Oh, my God.
I was able to prolong my existence with Podtacular technology.
Oh, no. He's hitting her.
All right. Well, I think the postponing has gone on long enough, so we will wrap up this show.
Yes.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Our next show, we will actually talk about E3 in general, so not just Halo 4. We'll talk about the Nintendo press conference, the Sony press conference, the Ubisoft press conference, and whatever else we want to talk about that's related to E3. After I watch those press conferences, of course. Because all I've done is watch Halo 4 stuff, because I put out all the Halo 4 videos so far. We've done, what, 4 podcasts about Halo 4 E3 stuff.
Yeah.
So, good job, Dawes.
And we still actually have a couple more things, because we have the smart glass to talk about.
Bah.
Yep.
We have a couple other little Halo 4 tidbits. It's not as big as some of the other stuff that we've seen, but we have some more tidbits to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have another kind of wrap-up E3 show that's going to be this Thursday. And if you guys have any thoughts, make sure you send in your questions or comments, and you can do that.
Wait, wrap up? Like wrapping up Halo 4 stuff or general E3?
No, just general E3 is going to be Thursday, our next recording.
Okay.
So
should be fun.
So yeah, listeners, you can see how professional this whole system we have here is, right?
Yeah.
Just learning the recording date.
Oh, it's not your fault. I mean, E3 opened up with a showstopper, and that was Halo 4.
Yeah, which was a poor strategy, to be honest, but whatever. Microsoft decided to want.
What are you going to
do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? It was still, it's like, if you knew that it was Halo 4 coming, then you saw that opening scene, it's like you knew it was Halo 4, regardless.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. That live-action sequence that they did for the opening was, like,
compelling and rich.
I actually thought they were going to put live-action in the game.
A lot of people did, I think. Yeah.
I really like the uniforms, but that's just me.
It's funny to see, you know, watching the news feed for Halo 4, to see a lot of repeated news come out by bigger publishers since E3. A lot of stuff that was released, like, months before E3 that is just now being, like, 343 announces Ford Dawn to Dawn series, like, 2 months after they actually announced it.
Yeah. Now, to end the show on one last note, that is so very important. You know, this popped in my head today. You know what was a really stupid cartoon The Life and Times of Juniper Lee. That cartoon was
dude,
awful.
You know what is really funny is that I stumbled upon that on YouTube just like last night, and I was getting my mind blown. Even though the show sucked, I like
it did
was taken
suck.
Back to when I was like
awful.
Nine.
Horrible.
You're getting your mind blown because how horrible it was.
How'd it go? In a world full of monsters and creatures, she's the only one that can see them.
Okay, on that right, note, on that note, I'm going to cut the show off right here. So thank you guys for listening, and keep on fracking those trucks.